and welcome to Gap and Gap Radio. This is Holly Knight, and thank you for being here. Our guest today is Coach Thomas Thornton. He is the Georgetown head coach, Georgetown College head coach in Georgetown, Kentucky. And just a little bit of about Coach Thornton. He's been at Georgetown for 17 seasons. He's got a record, very impressive record of 508 and 280. That's 508 wins and 280 losses. Georgetown's won two Mid-South Conference regular season titles and then two MSC tournament champions under Coach Thornton. Georgetown was the Region 11, I think, tournament runner-up in 2004, and then he's had two NAIA All-Americans play there. So we're going to get to know Coach Thornton and the Georgetown program a little bit better. Coach, how's it going today?
Hey, it's going great. I'm glad to do anything doing with softball these days.
Exactly, exactly. We'll get a little bit to the pandemic and get a little bit about this year's loss of games and what's going to happen at Georgetown and how you're recruiting and all that stuff. But first of all, let's get to know you a little bit better. Are you originally from the Georgetown area?
I am a lifelong Georgetown, Kentucky resident. I was born in Carrollton, but shortly thereafter, my family moved here. So I actually graduated from Georgetown College with my undergrad degree, as well as I got my master's here at Georgetown. So I tell people I'm like a bad penny. I just keep turning back up.
Yeah, well, I tell you, if those listeners have not been to the Georgetown area, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous area. The campus is a very, very nice campus, and the school has a great reputation. And so if you're going to be a bad penny, that's going to be a good place to be a bad penny.
Oh, it's awesome. Sometimes I say I'm a little bit biased because I got my degree from here, but I would have a hard time coaching at a school that I couldn't I couldn't tell the parents that their daughters are going to get a great education because I don't want them to just come play ball for me. I want to see them graduate after they get done playing ball for me.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. The the school, as I said, a great reputation. Now, how long? Because I've been around a little bit, and Georgetown hasn't had a master's degree program real long, have they?
They started a master's in education probably in the 90s.
Okay.
I think maybe mid-90s because I got my master's. I think I graduated in 98 with my master's. So it's not been extremely long. And right now that's all we have is a master's in education. And I say right now because with our current administration, once we get everything ironed out with the COVID and with all that, and trying to get everything back on track, we are looking at possibly adding some master's programs.
Oh, great, great. Now, if anybody is listening live, you can call in at 516-666-9488. That number is on your screen, and feel free to call in and coach. Ask Coach questions, and I'm sure that he would be open to anything about Georgetown, anything about him, I guess we're talking about him, or any softball-related questions, just his opinion on things softball-related. We'll try to stay with softball with all the stuff going on in today's world. But just feel free to call in, or if you want to send me a message, you can send me a message on the screen. There's a chat room down below on the screen. So I'll be watching that as well. So feel free to contact us there. If you're not listening live, if you're listening after the show, you can send me an email and I can forward that if you got questions for Coach. And his email, I believe, is I think that's how I originally contacted you, is on the website. So you can contact Coach most college coaches are pretty open to people contacting you. Is that right?
Oh, yes. We look forward to hearing from the student athlete.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we want to talk about a little bit, getting a lot of things, but at some point, definitely want to talk about the NAIA, kind of because at this point, I think you're the first NAIA coach I've had, and I coach at the NAIA at one time, and so the NAIA has doesn't follow the same rules, the NCAA 1 and 2 with the no contact and the rules, the recruiting rules. We want to get to that. But so you graduated from Georgetown. Did you play baseball at Georgetown and then get into softball? What's your athletic background to get into softball?
Well, I took a roundabout way of getting to softball. I actually did not play baseball. I was going to Georgetown, thought I was going to walk on and play football.
Mm-hmm.
High school, had a knee injury, started to learn a little bit about athletic training. So when I went to college, I decided I started off wanting to get into athletic training. So I worked with the football team, worked with the basketball team, and then met the softball coach at the time. And she not only had me work as an athletic trainer, but brought me in to be a student assistant coach. So I kind of fell into it. Wasn't something I expected to do. Loved working with her. After I graduated, it wasn't but a few years that the state of Kentucky went to fast pitch. You know, I think it was mid-90s at the state of Kentucky high school went to fast pitch softball. A friend of mine took the job at a local high school, and I volunteered to come in and help her. Started because I was teaching middle school with her. So we started coaching at the local high school. And then to learn more about the game, I started coaching travel ball. People were trying to get me involved in that. So we would take teams and go play. And anywhere we went, if we faced a team and they did something in a game that I hadn't seen before, and, of course, I was new to the game, so there was a lot I hadn't seen back then. Anything they did that I hadn't seen before, I'd approach the coach after the game and see how long he'd be willing to sit and talk to me. And I just started soaking things up and continued coaching high school ball and travel ball. And then took a job or came in as a volunteer assistant at Georgetown. And when that coach left, I took over and have been here ever since.
Fantastic. So the travel, when you took the job at Georgetown, did you continue with travel coaching?
After I took the job, well, when I came in as an assistant, I still, at least for another year, I continued to do travel ball. Once it looked like I knew he was going to eventually leave, I actually spent my second year learning a lot of the behind-the-scenes thing, trying to talk to him about, you know, because every coach can tell you there's so much more than just coaching on the field.
Uh-huh.
And these are things I didn't know. These are things I hadn't learned because I didn't have to. Uh-huh. So I spent the next year, I got away from that, and I went on the road more with him recruiting-wise and learned the ins and outs of how to do all that. So I really only stayed with travel ball for one more year after I came on as an assistant. And then I really kind of geared myself to get ready to, if not take over a program, at least be the best assistant coach I could be.
Yeah, it's the amount of time and, yeah, the administrative stuff in the office and away from the office and off the field is so overwhelming sometimes, and it's not getting easier. It just, back 30 years ago, you didn't do as much, but now it just keeps getting more and more difficult.
Oh, there's days I wish I could get on the field more than I do. And bless your hearts, that's a good reason I have quality assistant coaches, because it allows me to do the things that I don't like to do, because I trust them taking care of the girls and being quality coaches.
Yeah, you've got, I was looking at your roster, your coaches roster, and you've got, looks like on your website, 4 assistants. You've got one, Kelly, she's been with you for 8 years, and Lori is in her 4th year, so you've got some pretty good experience there.
I tell you, I'm blessed, and it started before Kelly and Lori came on, but I've been blessed with quality assistant coaches. When I first took the job, the two gentlemen who were assistants with me stayed on at least for a year or two to help me adjust to it. But even after that, I started bringing in my first main assistant coach that I brought in. He and I coached travel ball together. He was with me for 13 or 14 years, and both of his daughters played for me at different times throughout their career. So, you know, Kelly and Lori, I couldn't ask for better. Kelly is a former athlete herself. She played basketball and softball here at Georgetown. She is a member of Georgetown College Hall of Fame. And, you know, she brings a lot to our program. Lori, we brought Lori in. Her daughter came in to play for us, and I was looking for a pitching coach, and her daughter was my catcher. So it was one of those that Lori knew a lot about pitching, and we brought her in, and I've been blessed ever since. Her daughter has since graduated, and she's still helping us. She is awesome. And then Chasen Allgaier is with me after graduating a few years ago as a four-year starter for me. She is now back helping as a part-time basis. She's finishing her nursing degree. And Chasen was my first All-American and a career 440 batting average for me.
Oh,
so
gosh.
She's a good person to bring back to work with my hitters.
Yeah, yeah. So Kelly looks like she was also a pretty good hitter. So does both of them, how do you work out your coaching staff with the hitters?
Well, I'll be honest with you, hitting is kind of my thing.
Okay.
I let Chasen, you know, when I can't work with them, Chasen takes over the hitters, but it's kind of my thing. Chasen is a left-hander, so she's very good at helping me work with my left-handed batters because I have a hard time sometimes with the turnaround. But Kelly, for as good as a hitter she was, she's probably the best shortstop I've ever worked with.
She was
a phenomenal defensive player. So she actually is in charge of our defense. She does a lot of even moves to the outfield, work with the outfield when I need her to. But she kind of, when we have to divide things up and allows me to sit back, I let Chasen take care of my hitters. Kelly takes care of my defense. And, of course, Lori runs the pitching drills.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, the assistant coaches, I think, are at this point, I think most people know how important they are, but I don't think you really realize that until you've been a head coach and you've got some really great assistants. Now, I'm assuming that a lot of times your assistant coaches stay a few years and then they get either a higher pay, because a lot of them, they're volunteer, they're not making very much money. Do they continue to coach, or they move on, or what happens a lot of times?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been very fortunate in all my assistant coaches. Their jobs keep them around the area. So I don't normally lose them because, you know, unfortunately, Georgetown being what it is, my assistant coaches are not paid assistants. They're all volunteers.
Right.
So I've been blessed to have people like Kelly, who's a retired police officer. So, you know, she's got free time to be able to come do the work. You know, like I said, Chasen being working on nursing. So even after she gets her degree, she's already got a job at UK lined up. So she's going to have time to come down and work with us as well. In years past, I've had two or three girls who used to play for me that were teaching. That when they got their teaching degree, they ended up teaching here in Scott County. So they were living close by. I've been very fortunate to get people who understand the game and know the game and are willing to put in the time to help out.
Yeah, that's great. Excuse me. So shifting gears a little bit, just looking at your coaching record now. Excuse me. Looking at your coaching record, your first year at Georgetown, taking over as an assistant, you were 29-14. Did you inherit? Because that's a really good record for a first year coach. Did you inherit a good program, or was the program pretty good before you got there?
Well, the gentleman I came in as an assistant with, he is a very, very smart man, and I still use things that I learned from him. He took a George, and I have to say he took it because I've just hopefully I've added to what he did. At least I like to think that. But he took a program, and in his 2 years here, before we came in, they had never had a winning season. At least not in fast pitch softball.
Wow.
And he took a program and turned them around and took back-to-back years, won, I think, 33 games both years. You know, and that's a testament for what he brought in. And I learned from him. And And I feel like I moved along with it. And yes, for part, I did inherit a good team. We also, as an assistant coach, he and I, we went out the year before. The year he left and I took over, we actually had 14 freshmen. So we had really gone out and found these kids to come in and make it, you know, because even after he left of that 14 freshmen, I think I still started probably seven of them. You know, a couple of them being pitchers and, you know, things like that. But, I mean, these girls came in and they made a big deal. But I'll be honest with you, that first year is a testament to my seniors. I had three seniors that year, one of which is probably the best player I've ever coached in my life.
And
I don't say that. I don't say that lightly. She's a legitimate. I think she legitimately could have played at a D1 or D2 school, and chose to come to Georgetown. And I was glad that she was here. But I had three girls. The head coach left like a week into the fall season, so you know it was kind of one of those. Mm. It just none of the girls were ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he took the job, we sat down with him before practice, and he explained to him what's going on, and then he got up to leave, and I said, all right, the rest of you go get stretched, and I pulled my seniors aside, and two of the three of them looked at me and said, Coach, don't worry about it. And he hit me. I was like, what do you mean don't worry about it? And they said, well, he said, you coach, you take care of what you need to, and we'll take care of the rest.
Wow.
And they did. You know,
goodness.
The one girl, I said that she's that good. She was my starting center fielder. She batted .300 in my lineup that year. Just did lots of great things. But the other one was my starting catcher. And bless her heart, I'm not big on having catchers catch every game, but I really didn't have a great backup catcher. So she probably caught 95% of our games that year. And I gave her free rein. I let her. She called pitches. She worked the pitchers. You know, I had a pitcher one time that year who had going into the fifth inning, had a perfect game, and she looked at me and said, Coach, she's done. And I didn't even think about it. I just pulled her out.
Oh, my goodness.
We went to the next pitcher.
Hmm.
You know, but I had that much faith in those two girls.
Yeah.
And even the other senior came on and did great things for us. And I'll be honest with you, we did that good that year because they made my job easier.
That's fantastic. So looking at this, you've had, looks like, one losing record, not to bring up bad stuff, but of the other seasons you've had, you said you've been there 17, so you've got 16 winning seasons, one rough season, looks like, in a conference and regular season. We don't necessarily talk about that here if we get to the point. I really, one of the things is, as a former coach, and I still give lessons, still work with teams, and I'm retired, and I just love the concept of coaching philosophy and culture and how you deal with winning and how you deal with losing and those type of things. But it was your third season there, but then your fourth, you come back and won really, really well. But your big season, I don't know if you would count it as your best. It looks like it's your most winningest season was 2008-2009 season. You were 31-11, 17-4 in a really good conference. So what happened that year? You just everything come together?
No, Lord, I'd have to go back and look at and I'll be honest with you, 31-11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your win-loss percentage. The most wins you've had. Gosh, you've had a couple of seasons where you've had 36.
We've had some 37.
Yeah, 37. Right. Yeah, your most wins was the 2014 season where you were 37-15. So that was a really good year as well.
And what season were you saying? 2009.
Yeah, I was just kind of picking. I guess really what I'm asking is, I know you're still coaching, and I know it's kind of taboo a little bit to say, well, that's my best team I ever coached because you're still coaching and you don't want them to feel slighted necessarily. But do you have a year that you say, wow, that was just everything came together, everything just was great?
Wow. I'm just now pulling up the information on the CD you were talking about. And I can remember that's the first year we actually went to the national tournament. And I'll be honest with you, we played well that year, and it was a solid team. We had great seniors, we had great juniors, pitching. We had three, four solid pitchers we could rotate around, and I was extremely pleased. And I guess the one that really hit the most about that weekend was how we came back. We went into the conference tournament in second place, I think, and lost the very first game.
And, oh, gosh.
Really, really, really shouldn't have lost that game. Mm. And came back later that night and won. And then the next day had to win three games back to back to back.
Oh, goodness.
And my sophomore third baseman, I'm sitting at the field because we actually hosted the conference tournament that year. And I'm sitting at the field waiting for the girls to show up and just kind of watching what's going on. And she comes and plops down next to me and said, "Coach, we got this." And bless her heart, I think she hit 600 or better for the day with three home runs. And just we had two extra inning games. And just is probably the best day, back-to-back-to-back day I've ever had, I've ever seen.
Oh, gosh.
I was so proud of the girls because we won 5-4, 5-3, and then 5-4. Two of those games going to nine innings or eight or nine innings.
Yeah,
so,
goodness.
Yeah, that team kind of jumps back. And I hate to say any one team because really – I could say the team that was 37 and I can't remember how we lost, but they were 37 and something, and we went to the national tournament. And I loved that team just as much as I did the other team. And they both won different ways. This first team, the one I was just talking about, they were a good hitting team. And it was very rare that we got blanked that year. We scored against everybody. But the 37 win team, I had my number one, number two pitchers were just dominant all year long. And we won the conference tournament that year with a team batting average of like 250. You know, it's not heard of. You just don't do that. So it goes to show that, you know, we look to win any way we can. I teach my girls, we're going to hit, we're going to pitch, we're going to do the best we can on every phase of the game. And that's what we teach. I mean, from day one, we start teaching defense, you know, because I told the girls, I tell the girls every year, you know, we're going to be good hitters, but even a good hitter is going to have a bad day. But that's why we teach them defense from the get-go. And that's why we teach them to back up your pitchers from the get-go, because our pitchers aren't going to be strikeout pitchers, but they're going to make the hitters hit where we want them to. So we got to be able to back them up.
Exactly.
So
I
guess going to your question, you know, philosophy wise, we teach them to be well-rounded, full softball players, not just one one type. You know, don't be good at just one thing. Be able to play the whole game. And we teach that, you know, we got to adjust. We might be a great hitting team today. Tomorrow, we better be a good defensive team. So we teach them to adjust on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's a pretty good winning recipe, that's for sure. And it's been working for you really, really well. So let's get to 2020. You've got a season kind of going, and all of a sudden, I don't know. And I know that then there's people from the top coming from the president all the way down to the United States, down to the president of Georgetown College, down to everywhere. So the process, how did it happen, or how did, I guess, walk us through that at Georgetown?
Are you talking about the COVID, how that came about?
Yes. Yeah. Because you were in season, right?
Oh, my gosh. We had played 19 games. We were we were 14-5.
Oh gosh.
And actually, yeah, we were actually on the road, because that week we had had a staff meeting, and we talked about, okay, well, these things are happening around us, but nobody's told us we can't play. So, you know, because the baseball coach and I both were asking, are we allowed? Because both of us were playing conference games that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So both of us asked, are we allowed to? Are we allowed to keep playing? Because I was supposed to hit the road. I had a we opened our conference play the weekend all this was starting to come about. And we were, oh gosh, you talking about teams. I love this team just like I loved all the others.
Yeah.
But we were starting to hit our stride. I felt good for us going into conference play. I felt like we were going to make a good run. And one of my players, she had had to, as soon as we got done playing the Sunday before, she went to Louisiana. Her brother was being deployed. So I told her mom, I said, fly her back in to Nashville. I'll pick her up on our way, because we were going to Lebanon to play Cumberland, Tennessee. I said, I'll pick her up on the way, and that way you don't have to worry about, you know, if you need to stay down there a little bit longer. So we're actually on the way. I'm almost at the airport in Nashville, Tennessee, and my athletic director calls and says, everything is being postponed.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, they were just saying postpone. They weren't saying cancel. They were just, hey, let's see what's going to happen. Everything's postponed. He said, so you're not going to be able to play. And I told him, I said, well, I'm in Nashville, and it's going to be hard for me to cancel rooms for tonight. So we actually went and stayed in the hotel that night. I let the girls have we knew we weren't playing the next day. We were going to get up early the next morning and come on home. But I let them have an enjoyable night, hoping it wasn't going to be our last one together. But unfortunately, it did end up being our last one together. I think some of the girls kind of knew that, even though I wasn't saying, you know, we're canceled. It was just, hey, we're going to postpone. Because at that point, they were saying, okay, we're gonna kill the next 3 weeks of the season and then try to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our conference and the NAI was telling us. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, hey, you know, we're going to come back together. Don't worry about that. But I think they kind of felt it was coming. I can't blame them. If you read the newspaper, watch the news,
these
girls live on their phones and stuff. So they know what's going on around them. So, of course, I had several seniors, you know, come in to visit with me that night, and just in tears, and because they were afraid this was the last night they were going to be together. Unfortunately, we did get home, and I told the girls, I said, get your stuff, go home for now. You know, we'll be in touch. We'll talk again next week. And, you know, since all this has happened, I've had weekly, you know, I've at least called every player on a weekly basis if I'm not, and if we not had some kind of a Zoom meeting. And what will we do without Zoom?
Oh, Lord. I know.
I've had so many Zoom meetings for something I've never heard of until 2 months ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've talked to the girls every week, and bless their hearts, you know, they've learned. You know, they're not happy. You know, they wish they could have played out this year, but they learned, you know, kind of going back to the last question. You know, I teach my girls to adjust to what happens around them. And they're adjusting, you know. Even my seniors, they're adjusting, and they're moving on to the next part of their lives. And they know they've missed out on something that we all thought was going to be a great year, but they know in the grand scheme of things, they're going to move on and do great and wonderful things somewhere else.
Yeah. So I know the NCAA allows the seniors to come back. Did the NAI do that, or how did that? What's the rules for that?
Probably right after all this, everything got canceled. The NAI came out and said, and they didn't say just seniors. They said freshmen on up. Every class that played this year would be able to receive an extra year of eligibility. Now, that being said, you know, the NAI says, yeah, you can do it. Mm-hmm. But you still have to be eligible within your school. You still have to be eligible within your conference. So you still have to be able to, you know, you can't graduate. And
right.
You know, if you do graduate, you have to be able to go into a grad school that's at your program. And, you know, and
mm-hmm.
we've already talked about this. I only have one grad school right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the thing about most of my girls here at Georgetown, you know, our team GPA is 3.4.
Oh, gosh.
My girls are they're on time. They're going to graduate on time. I've even got girls who could graduate early if they wanted to, and they're kind of adjusting so they don't have, you know, they can still play
mm-hmm.
that last year.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to stay another year, now we've got to figure out, are we going to add a major, another different major? Are we going to add
mm-hmm.
a different minor? Are we going to do something just so that they can't technically graduate at the end of this semester, so that they can come back for another year? So it's
right.
still things that they got to work out. And we've sat down mm-hmm. and looked at it. I actually had one of my seniors who thought about it. She really, you know,
mm-hmm.
she wanted to, you know, because she was applying to grad schools and hadn't heard from any of them yet. So she was like, hey, if I don't get into grad school I want, maybe another year helps me do this. So
mm-hmm.
we actually sat down and looked at it. Now, she has since got accepted, and she's moving on. She's going to go ahead and graduate. But, you know, I'm glad that the NAIA did it. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be issues to it, even to be
mm-hmm.
able to do it. You know,
right.
I just want to make sure everybody understands. Yeah, it's a good thing. I'm glad they gave them that option. Just realize you've got to go through certain things to be able to take advantage of that option.
Right. So the schools that have multiple degree options, graduate, will probably have a little bit of an advantage in that situation if the girls wanted to stay at that school.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, 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 which it's always – and I know that it's we always talk about being fair, but every school has strengths. Every school has weaknesses. And, you know, so it's on one side you've got a bunch of girls at 3.4 GPA. They're graduating. That's not only amazing for them, amazing for your program, but that's a recruiting strength, obviously, because these girls know they're going to go there, they're going to get a good education, and they're going to get finished in 4 years.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
And, you know, I couldn't coach or teach at a program that I didn't feel like they weren't going to get a strong education, and they're going to get a strong education from
mm-hmm.
Georgetown.
Yeah.
And that's one of my biggest selling points.
Right, right, exactly. So do you also teach there?
I used to. I do not any longer. It's my first few years here. We were kind of in transition. There were some classes. See, I'm the old school physical education teacher.
Mm-hmm.
But there were some classes when I came back that some teachers were retiring, moving on, whatever. And they were, like, teaching physical education. You know, because right now one of our biggest degrees is elementary education. And they didn't have somebody here at the time to teach the class teaching physical education in the elementary schools. Because the teacher, bless her heart, the teacher that taught that, taught me that school in school. So
she was
retiring and moving on. And they asked me, I said, well, you've got the degree. Would you be able to? So I taught her for a couple of years. And then they finally hired somebody in to do some other things. And they wanted to take over that one as well. So I no longer teach here. I used to teach middle school. I no longer teach. But you and I both know I teach my girls every day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's an education role, no doubt, and that's the you were talking about making adjustments. I've often felt the sport of softball is there's so much. I mean, you have a great year, but you still, as a hitter, you can hit 350 and fail 65% of the time, and still be a great hitter. And so you have to learn adversity. You have to learn how to bounce back. And you can have one bad at bat, two bad at bats, and a third at bat win the game. And I think it is all about education. It's really important, I think.
No, you hit on it directly right there. You know,
yeah.
I try to teach them all the time that, you know, it doesn't matter what you did last time. It matters what you do next time.
Right, right. So shifting gears a little bit, your facility is, tell me about your facility. I was looking at some information here. There's no actual picture of it. And I was on campus. Gosh, it's been a few years since I've been on campus there. So tell us about your facility. Is it, are you, yeah, just go ahead and a little bit.
Well, I, honestly, since the day I got here as an assistant coach, our facility has been an ongoing project. We never really had the funding to do everything we wanted to do right away. My predecessor, who I came in with, he took the job with the agreement because at that time, Georgetown College was still playing at the local park. He took the job saying, okay, I'll take the job if you will commit to building a field on campus. And he even got the, you know, got an engineer to come up with the plans of what he exactly wanted. Of course, they didn't put the money into everything he wanted, but they did find a field here on campus. His last year here, we played one weekend series on it. So technically, my first year taking over was our first full year playing on the field we are currently on. When it was built, and it's beautiful. I mean, we had some connections back in the day. All the brick the backstop wall, and the brick for the dugouts and everything. My former president had donated, so we didn't have to spend money on those. So it's a beautiful facade with big dugouts. My predecessor wanted in-ground dugouts, and they were a little bit too expensive. So instead, we made a bigger dugout just normal on top. So huge dugouts, quality field. You know, our maintenance guys help us take care of the field as best they can, but we also take a lot of responsibility ourselves. I actually had half my team in the other day pulling weeds just to make sure we continue to keep the field looking good, even though nobody's on it right now, other than occasionally we bring in a recruit and have them come join us on the field. But, and then, later on, I started a project to raise the money in the late 2000s, around 2019 maybe. We actually got our lights. We raised enough money to put lights up on the field. So we didn't have those until about halfway through, you know, since we've been on that field. And then I've had parents and or assistant coaches have helped me build batting cages out there in the last 10 years and a five-well pitching cage to where we can, during practice, instead of having to walk around and watch pitchers pitch in different areas, we can have five of them pitching right there together. And the big thing, probably 6 years ago now, maybe seven, we had a lady who donated to the college over the years to women's athletics. She passed away, unfortunately, but she donated money to build our press box. And we now have a quality press box with bathroom, men's and women's bathrooms, and an area for our locker room. So,
fantastic.
As I say, everything is a process. In 20 years, we've built a lot of things. And if I'm still here in 20 more years, I hope to have a whole lot more.
Yeah. So there's a little black. I'm looking actually at your facility now. There's a little dark, like a black shed behind your pitching well. And it's got a quote or something. It says somewhere behind, and I can't read it. Do you remember what it says? Is it a quote or something, or is it?
It's a quote. One of my girls, actually, the year we went 37 and whatever and went to the national, the senior captain on that team found this quote, and it's the girl you wanted to be. I wish I knew the quote. I don't read it every day. But she found that quote, and she did a team bonding to get the team together and brought them together, and she had that quote written up there, and every player on the team put their handprint around it, and then inside stenciled in what year they would graduate or what number they were, just different things, their name, just whatever they wanted to do around their handprint. And it was one of those that they just wanted everybody involved on that team to come together. I don't know if that's, I don't know if that was a catalyst for that season, but I think it helped.
It definitely, I mean, it's, that's huge. I think I found it, did a search, and it looks like, so I'm on Google Maps, and it, you know, of course you can zoom in. It's amazing what Google Maps can do. And, but it's not super clear, but I can put words together. It looks like she did, took some liberties and put, looks like a GC in there, but I think the quote is, somewhere behind the athlete you've become and the hours of practice and the coaches who have pushed you is a little girl who fell in love with the game and never looked back. Play for her. Is that?
That sounds about right. A young lady who was, her senior year was just an outstanding, I mean, she was a great player for me all along. She was a 4-year starter for me, but her senior year, she just decided, hey, I want to take it all. And she led her team, led her team to the Nationals, and bless her heart.
And leadership
started from there.
Yeah, leadership inside your team is gigantic. If I think it's crazy. That was actually a quote from Mia Hamm, which is the big soccer player. I guess she saw it from her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So very cool. Very cool. All right. So back a little bit. So the pandemic shuts the season down, and it is horrible, and it's something that obviously creates a lot of holes and gaps, but also adversity and opportunities. But recruiting wise, since you're not going to have any of your seniors, I think, would you have 3 or 4 seniors this past year?
I had 4 seniors, of course, all 4 starters, but I had 4 seniors. Yes.
Right. So during this process, then obviously all the high schools shut down as well. So recruiting had to be pretty challenging.
Yes and no. To be honest with you, this year's freshman class, I recruit ahead. Most NAIA schools, they're kind of back and forth on that. And 8 years ago, maybe less, I started noticing if I waited like I used to, because when I first took this, I could recruit a kid right up until the day she graduated high school. And she'd be a good ball player to still come. Well, everything started filtering down where at one time NCAA Division I were getting kids to commit as freshmen. And then D2 started getting them to commit as sophomores and juniors. Well, I started having to up my strategy.
Yeah.
And not that I would get a kid to commit as a junior or sophomore or anything like that, but I had to start working on them as a sophomore. I had to start working early in the game as it is. And I actually had all but one girl that I'm bringing in this year committed by September, October, last fall. So I had this year's class, other than I'm still trying to find another pitcher. I had this year's class already, and the only reason I'm looking for another pitcher is because there's all these schools that are shutting down and these kids that are getting left out in the cold. So I'm looking for that quality pitcher who might, be willing to come down here. But otherwise I have a junior college transfer and 10 freshmen coming in next year. And I had all those signed by September, October last fall.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah,
so
that's amazing.
It really kind of affects the junior class, the sophomore class. I think it kind of affects them more than the senior class, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
A lot of these juniors especially for an NAIA school, some of these juniors start to have coming out that they got overlooked when they were younger because they're really not hitting their stride until their junior or senior year.
Right.
Those are the kids that they're trying to figure out, how am I going to get seen? What am I going to do? And you know, I'm trying to give them advice. You know, I'm out recruiting. I was actually at a tournament this past weekend. I at least went down for a little bit. Ohio's running some tournaments, and Indiana's running some tournaments right now. And hopefully here soon, Kentucky's going to open up to some tournaments. And you know, I try to tell the kids, you know, hey, still get out and play. NAIA schools, D3 schools, we can come watch you play. And if you really, really think that D1 or D2 is where you want to go, keep sending them emails. Keep letting them know that you're out there. And when they can get back out, they'll look at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I help with Future Stars of Sports tournaments. I help them ever so often a little bit. In fact, my Thursday show, I have a Thursday show with Ron Ray, which is the owner of Future Stars, and of course they do tournaments all over this area, and we're talking about getting back, and he's got a tournament in Indiana next weekend coming up, and we're working on getting a showcase there. So I'm going to, on, you don't have to commit on here, but we would love to invite you to attend and help us with the showcase, and I can send the information if you're interested, if you're available next this coming Friday. And, of course, I'll have games all weekend and stuff. So I'll send you some information on that. But,
yeah.
So so recruiting ahead. Now, the NCAA changed their rules. Like at one time, of course, they were getting commitments and offers as freshmen, and they changed the rule, 2 years ago, I guess?
It's been within the last 2 years, yeah.
Yeah, and I know it changed things for them.
It's going to eventually help. Yeah, it's eventually going to help, but being so recent and everything, everything's going to take time. It's going to take a few.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's probably going to take about 4 years for it to really kind of start filtering back in. And I'd love it for it to get back to where it used to be, where, you know, and I'll still go talk to sophomores and juniors. And even if I don't, you know, even if it's not until their senior year that I really look to get going with them, I'm at least still going to put that time in there as they're younger. But I'm hopefully it'll eventually get back to it, because I'll be honest with you, there's some kids that that take advantage of it as freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey, such and such gave me a commitment.
Oh,
I'm going to go to this school. And then they
sit
back and relax, and they don't get better. And then that school now has wasted that time. And then there's the kid who's busting their butt because they're just not that good yet as a freshman. But by the time they're junior or senior, they just really hit their stride. It's going to help the kids more than anything, I'll be honest with you. And that's all it should be about.
It should be. Yeah, I agree. So we've got a few more minutes here. A couple of things I wanted to check. So your recruiting class, you got a transfer coming in. You had a really good start, I guess, kind of. I think I'm hoping that we all have a spring season next year. Are you going to be able to get back on campus in the fall for your fall workouts and everything? Do you know yet?
As of right now, our school has already sent out what they're planning on doing. We're actually starting school early, earlier than ever. But that is knowing that they're going to be done by Thanksgiving. When they go home for Thanksgiving break, that's the end of the semester.
Oh, gosh. Early. Yeah.
It's a weird one, but I understand what it is. You know, they're afraid they go home, they spend all that time, and then they come back, and they're
good
afraid
point.
Of an outbreak. And I get it.
Yeah.
I don't – whether I like it or not, I get it. I understand exactly. You know, I have a hard time with all my players being home for – a month and a half to 2 months, and then we have to get ready as soon as they get back on campus. So, you know, kind of limits what we can do, but, you know, I understand completely. But we do start early. NAIA has actually said nobody can start official fall practice until August the 15th.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, even if you bring your kids back early, all you can do is conditioning. You can't officially start practice until August the 15th for any fall sport, including anything like us. Like we'll still probably try to do our fall season, which is, you know, two or three scrimmage dates, so that we'll get ready for the spring. But you know, I'm looking forward to next year. We were having a great year. You know, yeah, we're losing some key components, but you know, I feel like I got some good ones coming in who can jump in there, and some that didn't get to play as much last year who might be able to fill in as well.
Fantastic. Now, do you typically, I was looking at your roster earlier, do you typically stay with players in Kentucky? It looks like a lot of kids, you've got a Plant City, Florida girl, a couple Ohio, but looks like mostly Kentucky. No, I'd say half Kentucky maybe. Is that something you try to do?
My recruiting base is normally Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana. Depending on the year, you know, I like the Cincinnati area because, you know, University of Cincinnati does not have softball. So there's a lot of kids in the area that get overlooked, go up to Dayton, go up to Columbus. There's a lot of good softball up in Ohio as well as here in Kentucky. And then I'll go over to Indiana as well. You know, one of my best pitchers I ever had here was an Indiana kid. You know, those are my main three. Now, will we go outside that? Yeah. The kid from Florida, her family, she has family here in Kentucky. So it was kind of one of those that she contacted us. I've had two or three from California over the years who I don't go out there looking for them. But if they send me emails, I'm not going to just delete them. I'll at least look and see, and we'll talk. And I've actually got a girl from Michigan later on this summer coming in on a visit to see if, you know, so I won't not look at other states, but that's the three states I mainly recruit from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it looks like currently on this roster I see on your website, looks like you got one junior college, Lincoln Land Community College transfer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you go into, you got a transfer coming in this coming year. Do you go strong in that way? Doesn't look like it. Looks like you could go a little bit, though.
I'll be honest with you. In the 18 years I've been here, I've had three junior college players.
Yeah.
So it's not one. Well, first things first, there's no junior colleges in the state of Kentucky.
True.
Since St. Catherine moved to NAIA, and now they're not even a school anymore, there's no junior colleges in the state of Kentucky. So it makes it hard to, you know, to go out and recruit junior colleges, because a lot of times if I'm going to recruit a kid or have them transfer, I like to at least have an idea of who the coaches are, what the program's like, you know. Is it a kid that's really does she have good instruction before she comes here? Because I'm only going to have her for 2 years.
Right.
You know, I bring in a kid as a freshman. Hey, her first year, maybe even her first 2 years, we're trying to teach her something, but by her junior year, maybe she turns into a stud for us. Who knows? If junior college, I don't know that unless, you know, so a lot of times I won't look at a junior college player unless I've seen something that makes me want to look at her. Now, I'll look videos up. I'll look old stats up. I've even been known to pull up their high school or their travel ball information to see, okay, who do they play travel ball with? So maybe there's a connection there.
Good point. So I do recruiting videos and things like that. And you mentioned that. It's doing a couple of different things. So recruiting, especially like you said, you pull up videos and look at information. A girl is from, let's say, Indianapolis. And being a private school, it's in-state, out-of-state tuition doesn't affect anything, I'm assuming. Girl comes from Indianapolis. You obviously, it's a long way to go. Do you want to look at her? Do you get references? How do you go through that process before you go and look at her?
There's several ways. Even in Indiana, my assistant coach, my pitching coach, she has run a travel ball organization. So she actually, between her and myself, we have a lot of connections in the travel ball area, and her teams have played up in Indiana a lot. So there's times I'll find out who the travel ball coach is, or even a travel ball coach has played against them, and we'll call for recommendations. I have friends that coach at schools in Indiana that I'll call if they go to a certain tournament, I've seen that they're going to that tournament, I'll call and say, hey, can you take a look at this kid for me? That way, the next tournament, I'll drive up and watch if I need to. You know, it's, and sometimes I'll just go watch. Sometimes I'll say, okay, I've got three or four kids that are going to be in this tournament. I haven't seen any of them. Hey, let's go watch them. And I'll drive up for the day or drive up and stay one night and try to watch all of them. And, you know, hey, if I get one out of that three or four, then it's a worthwhile trip. And even if I don't, maybe I'll find another kid. Maybe I'll find somebody else. I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, you go and see a catcher and you end up noticing a shortstop you didn't know anything about. And I think it happens more than people think sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So to finish up here, a few things, let me, I always look at this. I always ask these kind of two questions as kind of advice. You've been around the game a long time and hopefully it's had another 20 years. Advice that you give to young athletes that want to go to college, and you've already said some things that can be taken as advice, but if you could say one or two things, what would it be?
First of all, as you're looking for schools, find the school that fits you. And what I mean is, if heaven forbid, something happened to you and you no longer are playing softball, is that the school that you want to be at? If there's no softball involved, is that where you want to be?
Good point.
Be true to who you are. Know where you want. Know what you want. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Second, you know, understand that what the coach wants and what you want are not always the same. But hopefully you'll always get to the same result.
Good point. Yeah, very good. I think the advice you gave, if just in case softball didn't exist, are you where you need to be? Because that's really, really good. And that's really good way of looking at it. So thank you for that. The last one before we get going here, been, again, 17 years at Georgetown, travel team coach and everything, changes how the game has changed in either the last 5 years, last 10 years, have you noticed any, is it game the same or has it changed quite a bit?
The game has changed, but it hasn't changed. When it's all said and done, it's still, can you play defense? Can you hit the ball? Can you pitch? So in that essence, no, it's not changed. But there are travel ball coaches and there are coaches who are teaching lessons and this and that. And the way the game is taught has changed. Kids are taught more now. You know, when I first started, you learned how to be an all-around player. And kids to this day still somewhat do. But now you're taught, hey, you're going to hit home runs, just hit the ball. Well, what if you're not a home run hitter and you've got that speed? We've gotten a little bit away from speed lately. And I noticed this when I was watching, I think last weekend they had some softball, like 2000 College World Series. And I was watching, and what amazed me, I forgot where we still wore shorts back then. You know, I started looking, I'm like, I see more stealing bases. I see more bunts here than I do. And these days you don't see it as much. You know, there are quality teams that we play against that, you know, I feel like we're in a bunting situation and they still won't bunt.
Right.
And I think in that essence, we've gotten away from it. We're trying to be, hey, you know, everybody saw, was it a year or two ago, Oklahoma or Florida or somebody setting all those records with home runs, and all the coaches are gearing towards that. Well, that's great, but not every kid's going to be that.
Right.
Especially
exactly.
Once you get past the, especially once you get down to D3 and NAIA and even a lot of your D2s, you know, how are we going to teach those kids? So, you know, yeah, it's changed, but to be honest with you, the game to me, it's the same. Teach the kid how to play a defense position. Teach the kid how to pitch to the spot, how to get movement on the ball, and teach the girl how to put the ball in play and make things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in that regard, it's the game hasn't changed and will never change, hopefully, in that regard. I was watching the I didn't watch every single game, but I was watching the 2019 College World Series, and I swear I think I only saw one attempted slap hitter in the whole World Series.
Yeah.
And there was a girl, I think she led off for UCLA, which of course won the thing. She was she did some base hit bunting, but I don't know if I saw very much sacrifice bunting at all. And now the 2000, I was looking at a couple years ago, there you could even see some more just bunting, period. But not a lot of stolen bases, not as you said. It does seem like the game is getting less speed-oriented and more power-oriented, at least at that level. And as you said, you can't – not everybody can hit 220-foot home runs. And so it's not that easy. I get a kick out of it sometimes. I one time had a parent bring a hitter to one of my lessons. I've been doing lessons off and on for a long time, and I had a parent said – I said, so what do you want? You know, what's your goals here? You know, because I try to teach basically there in my perspective, I guess my perspective, there's three types of hitters. There's the speed type of hitter, not the slap hitter, but the speed type of hitter. I don't teach slap hitting that much, but then there's the middle, the line drive, the hitter that most of us coach at smaller college levels, the line drive, 350, you know, 350 batting average, maybe a few home runs, a lot of RBIs running, you know, that kind of hitter. And then you got the power hitter, whichever so often you get. And so I had this little girl come in, and this little, the dad said, what do you want? And he said, literally said, I want her to hit home runs every time. I said, well, I'm pretty good, but I'm not that good. So it's just kind of hard to do, but yeah. Well,
and I've done lessons before. I know exactly what you're talking about. I hate, even on my team, I teach three different ways of hitting. I take whatever the girl's good at, and then we try to make it better.
Yeah, yeah. And because if you take if you take someone that doesn't have, is not power hitter per se, and you try to make them lift it too much or whatever, you're going to make them not even a good hitter. I mean, that's the concept. I think people don't get that. If you try to make a hitter something that she's not going to be an average. She's going to be probably really bad. No.
Yep.
Yep. Well, appreciate it. Any last thing you want to say? I guess we talked and everything. You're looking forward to the fall, which is around the corner. And any other last words before we get off here?
I'm just ready to get back to being on a ball field. Being able to go watch that tournament last weekend was exciting just because I was at a field. But I hope all of you, softball players, coaches, everybody, you're looking forward to the same, and you remember missing this season. Mm-hmm. Later on, when you're not having a good season, it that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good advice. Well, appreciate it, Thomas, and you have a great day. Appreciate you being on the show, and hopefully see you down the road some.
I appreciate it.
All right, great. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. That was Coach Thomas Thornton from Georgetown College, and appreciate him being on the air. And it does look like I did get possibly someone that kind of got on that, but didn't send me a message. So if I missed you, I apologize. If you need to contact me at Holly Knight, you can contact me at my email, hollyknight@nationalfastpitchacademy.com. You can contact me that way. Go on the website, and there's multiple ways you can contact me there. We have a show here at Gap to Gap Radio every Monday at noon. Sometimes we change that based on the availability of the guest. And then I said Ron Ray and I with Future Stars of Sports, we have a show every noon at Thursday. Next Monday, I'm going to have Travis Unruh, which is the owner, founder, I don't know what his official title is at this point, but of Fusion, which is a travel team coach out of Indiana. So he's going to be my guest next week at 12 o'clock on Monday. So hope everybody has a great day, and contact me if you get any questions, and we'll look for you down the road. Have a great day.